2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would not follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning as we continue read it in the service.
And again, I want to encourage you that if you can be here, please be here, all right? Don't let Zoom be an excuse not to be present physically in the service. This is for those who are not able to be here because of distance or sickness or some other reasonable reason. So I encourage you then to turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, which is our theme verse for this series. For 5 Sundays now, we've been studying the important biblical concept of personal relationships. And as I pointed out in each of the previous messages in this series, and will repeat one last time in the message today to fix it in your mind, not only is forging strong, loving personal relationships crucial for a successful and God-honoring marriage and for happy families and a happy church, but above all that, it is absolutely necessary to understand in order to have the kind of personal relationship with the Lord that brings joy, fulfillment, and blessing in your life and in the lives of others who interact with you. God is clear in his word that he intended every saved person to have a joyful, fulfilling, blessed relationship with him. And in fact, expects you to develop a personal relationship with him. And that's why he created you. That is your ultimate purpose. God changed the Apostle Paul from someone whose personality was not relationship friendly to someone whose heart was filled with love for the Lord and for others. God took hold of him on the road to Damascus and transformed him into a humble servant and messenger for Christ, and filled his heart with the heart of Christ and a hunger to develop his personal relationship with the Lord. As you know, our text for this series is what Paul wrote in Philippians 3:10, so I'm assuming you have that open now, and follow along in your Bible as I read it for us. Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know him, speaking of knowing Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. As I mentioned before, my prayer is that the Lord will use this series of messages to be a help to you in beginning this journey of learning how to nurture a personal relationship with the Lord and with others. Since this is the final message in this series, let me once again review briefly what we covered in the previous 5 messages before we cover the remainder of what I wanted to get across to us in this series. We begin our study of relationships by asking, what is the main goal or purpose of developing a relationship with someone? I hope by now that you can answer just like that if we were to give you a quiz. Since our relationship with God is the most important and vital relationship we should be concerned with, what is the main goal or purpose of entering into and developing a relationship with God? We find the answer to this question in both the Old and New Testaments, that the goal and purpose of developing our relationship with the Lord is in order to get to know Him, truly and fully know Him. He already knows us fully. Our goal must be to get to know Him as fully as our finite being is capable of knowing Him. The only other personal relationships that we must concern ourselves with are our relationships with other human beings. Just as we asked about a relationship with God, what is the main purpose or goal of developing a relationship with others? The answer is the same, to know that other person truly and fully. And that's what constitutes a personal relationship. And because this is a relationship between two finite beings, it must be a mutual getting to know each other. Now, as we nail down the purpose for developing a personal relationship with God and with others, the next question we asked was, how can this goal be attained or achieved? It must begin and continue through communication. This communication is somewhat different in our relationship with God compared to our relationship with other human beings. So we examine first our communication with God. God speaks to you through His Word, and you speak to God through prayer. I hope you look forward to hearing from Him and consciously develop your relationship with the Lord by your attention to His Word, and that you look forward to developing your relationship with Him further by spending time with Him in prayer, not just asking for what you desire, but also pouring out your heart to Him in love and trust and rest. I remember as a young person that I was focused on getting things from God. I don't know how many of you feel that same way or remember those kinds of desires. And prayer was kind of asking God for things. And it was only as I grew in my relationship with the Lord that I realized that it was much more than that. And I could pour out my heart to the Lord and ask Him for grace and strength to follow His will and to know Him better, to remember all the things I knew about God, His love, His compassion, His mercy, His grace, His wisdom, His power, and all these things. And I remember finding my prayer time increasing in length as this was added to it. And so should yours. Although our priority is our communication with God, we also need to develop our communication with others. Our goal in communication is to get to know the other person and to enable that other person to get to know us. Remember as well that our communication with others is a mutual function on the same level, in contrast to our communication with God, which is not on the same level. God is infinite, all-knowing, perfectly loving, and perfectly holy, whereas we are finite sinners who must struggle against the flesh and its selfish pull. Because of that, our communication and therefore our relationship with God is to a greater or lesser extent imperfect, not because of any deficiencies on God's part, but because of our deficiencies. On the other hand, when we are trying to communicate with another human being, we have to keep in mind the deficiencies that we both have, which will negatively affect our communication, therefore our relationship. And we need to be aware of that so that we can work on that more intensely. So how do we improve our communication with others? In a previous message, I gave you a list of principles that can guide you in paying attention to what you are doing and saying in your attempts to communicate effectively. If you're getting kind of forgetful about what that was, please, it's on the website. Go back, listen to it again. Take some notes. Some of you do take notes, and I praise you for that. Because writing it down puts it through your brain in a different way and confirms it, solidifies it more. So, however, you can make a way to remember this, make a way to remember it. So, when these ways of doing and saying to attempt to communicate effectively, when these become natural and automatic, then you'll be well on your way to communicating effectively and in a Christ-like manner. And again, if you did not get to hear that previous message about that, message number 3 in the series, then I strongly encourage you to listen to that as soon as possible. There is a third aspect of communication that we must understand in order to develop a godly relationship. Fellowshipping is communication at its highest and most rewarding level. In the previous message, number 4, I defined for us the word, or number 5, I defined for us the word fellowship. True Christian fellowship requires spending time together, talking, praying together, singing together, doing other things together. All these things I mentioned build your relationship with the individual or group that you are doing these things with. When you are building your relationship with God by fellowshipping with Him, you are spending time together. Even though you cannot see Him or hear Him audibly, yet as you long to draw closer to Him, you do through prayer and reading His Word. And this is what James meant by what he wrote in James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. When you're building your relationship with your spouse, the principle is still the same. You must fellowship together regularly, which means you must spend time together in meaningful communication and interaction with the conscious desire to draw closer to your spouse. And even though I did not develop this as fully as I would have liked to, let me just add here that when you have a man and his wife, very often the ability to communicate or the willingness to communicate differs, okay? Very often the wife will communicate more than the husband does. I don't know why that is. It's just built into us. We just communicate less. We just hopefully listen to the wife speaking. And so don't worry about who's saying as many words. Well, you only spoke 100 words. You know, I've already spent 500, so hurry up and talk some more. No, don't be that way, okay? But listen to each other and be in that conversation, no matter who's saying however many words. So meaningful communication and interaction with a conscious desire to draw closer to your spouse. On a church family level, we need to build a relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ through regular fellowship. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, Paul used 3 thoughts that describe true Christian fellowship, and we covered that in the previous message. I have you in my mind, verses 3 through 6. I have you in my heart, verses 7 and 8. And I have you in my prayers, verses 9 through 11. We examine these 3 demonstrations of Christian fellowship in detail in message number 4 of the series. So, we've established that the purpose of nurturing a relationship with someone is to get to know them fully. And we've seen that this goal must be attained or achieved beginning with communication. However, there is another aspect to attaining this goal, and that is commitment. What do we mean by commitment? The Oxford Dictionary offers quite a number of nuances of meaning, all of which are applicable to godly relationships. Commitment can refer to the state or quality of being dedicated to a person, cause, activity, etc. It means dedication, devotion, allegiance, loyalty, faithfulness, fidelity, bond. Commitment can also refer to a pledge or undertaking or a promise. And marriage is that kind of commitment. Commitment can also refer to an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action, especially a responsibility, an obligation, a duty, a tie. And marriage also is defined this way. One or more of these three aspects of commitment apply depending on what type of relationship we're talking about. Marriage would encompass all three of these definitions. Other relationships would only encompass one or two of those. But the key characteristic of any relationship is the faithfulness to develop and nurture that relationship. As I mentioned in the previous message, years ago, the teens in our church studied through Dr. Jim Berg's excellent video series and workbook entitled Changed Into His Image. And interestingly enough, Unit 6 of that series touches heavily on our relationship with God. In the previous message, number 5, I shared with the rest of you some of these truths that we studied in that series. So let me review. In order to get to know God, we have to have a desire for God. Understanding that God is the source of our desire and the goal of our desire, we can look to Him for His grace, His enablement to nurture this relationship as we cooperate with Him in His gracious work in our heart. As Dr. Berg put it, God has created in man the desire for Himself and has offered Himself as the object of man's desire. He is the only one sufficient to fill the God-shaped hole within man's soul. I don't know if you understand this, but if you really think about it, everything that you enjoy or appreciate is because God gave you that ability to appreciate it. I love colors. My favorite color is red, okay. Some of you, favorite colors red or blue or some other color. But listen, God gave you that appreciation for that color. Without that appreciation, that ability to see the color and to appreciate it, it would mean nothing to you. I appreciate beauty. And so God gave me a beautiful wife. And doesn't matter whether she is or not, but listen, God is the one who put that desire and appreciation of beauty, and so He put us together. Some of you love music. I love music, real music, not this modern stuff, okay? Real music, classical music, but other people may not. And so that ability to appreciate it, that ability to hear all those tones and harmonics and everything that just stir your soul and bring tears to your eyes sometimes. It does to me. I hear a beautiful violin solo, and it causes tears to come to my eyes. You say, well, Pastor, everything causes tears to come into your eyes. I know, but God does that too. It gives you an emotion. So the point is that God puts the ability and the appreciation for something, and then He provides that thing that does give you that joy and that fulfillment. And the same thing here. God created in man the desire for Himself and has offered Himself as the object of man's desire. So, as we also learned in the previous message, in order to nurture our relationship with God, we must cooperate with Him in His gracious work in our hearts. So how do we go about cooperating with Him? First of all, in order to truly know God, we must seek Him passionately. Everyone is passionate or wholehearted about something. Either he loves himself, in other words, he is passionate about those things that please himself, or he loves God and his neighbor. Apathy toward God is the result of being passionate about something or someone else. As Dr. Berg wrote in his book, God deserves first place in our lives and demands it if we are to know him in any kind of personal, intimate way. Not only must we seek God passionately in order to truly know God, we must seek him personally. The Bible is first and foremost a revelation from God about his Son. There is a person at the center of everything you read in the Bible. If you're just looking for principles and encouraging passages, you will certainly find that, but you will miss God in the process. Look for God himself, especially in the person of his Son, when you read his word. When this principle got hold of my heart in my teen years, it just revolutionized my Bible reading. And I started looking for the Lord as I was reading his word. What a difference that made. I hope this was a helpful review of all that we've covered in this series on relationships. I hope that you have seen from our series the importance of communication with God and the importance of communication with others, especially with those you need to build a relationship with. Fellowshipping is communication at its highest level. And as we learned in the previous message, message number 5, true fellowship comes from a commitment to the other person, and that commitment level depends on the type of relationship involved. The highest level of commitment and closest fellowship, of course, is that which we should have with God. The next highest level of commitment and the closest fellowship between two human beings should be in the relationship of a man and his wife. Other relationships, like that between siblings and among believers in a local church, are in a lower level of commitment from these first two. And the fellowship is not as intimate as in these first two. But the commitment is still strong, and fellowship is still sweet, and the relationship must still be nurtured in order to be a mutual blessing. And that is what we will cover in the rest of this message. So we've established that the purpose of nurturing a relationship with someone is to get to know them fully, and we've seen that this goal must be attained or achieved beginning with communication and supported by commitment. The third C in this alliterative outline is caring. By caring, I mean love. A relationship that is not nurtured by godly, selfless love, agape, will either wither and die eventually. Why would I put caring or love last in our study of relationships? Love would seem to be the most important aspect of a relationship. However, a human relationship, whether romantic or brotherly, rarely starts with full-blown love. Genuine love, whether the romantic or brotherly variety, is based on knowledge and experience. You see now why we need to get to know God and get to know each other. Let me illustrate this with a personal testimony. When I first noticed Brenda, we were 16 years old. Brenda, as you understand, is my wife. When we were both 16 years old, I was not in love with her. I was attracted to her outward beauty, her joyful countenance, and enthusiasm, her diligence in her work and schoolwork, and her love for the Lord. But it was not until I began to date her and communicate with her, and therefore got to know her better, that my heart was drawn to her more and more each time we spent together fellowshipping and sharing more about ourselves with each other. Eventually, I woke up one day realizing that I cared for her. I realized that for some time now, I was committed to her as a friend and found myself desiring to be more than just a friend. I loved her. That love grew over the following months and years to the point that as we prayed about it and communicated with each other, we understood that God had brought us together to serve Him as a team, as a married couple, fully committed to each other and to the Lord. We've continued to nurture that love for each other and for the Lord, which has strengthened our commitment and motivated our communication with each other. By the way, did you notice how often I use some form of these three words? Communication, commitment, and caring. I hope that that personal illustration gives you an idea of how those three C's develop and nurture a relationship before and after marriage. But what about other kinds of relationships? Even though brotherly or non-romantic relationships are less intimate than marriage relationships, nevertheless, in friendships and in a church setting, caring for your brother or sister in Christ is vital in any real relationship and will nurture and protect it. Biblical love, agape, will motivate us to sacrificially put the other person and their needs first. Jesus himself set a perfect example for us, as we can read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. So I'd like you to turn there. This will be the last place in the Bible that we'll refer to before the end of the message. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Of course, there's so much more that could be said, but I hope you have heard enough in these six messages to give you some direction and encouragement in building, first of all, your relationship with the Lord. And then secondly, building your relationship with others. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Before I close this message in prayer, would you take time in the quietness of these closing moments to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart about what we've studied from His Word this morning? Christian, how is your relationship with the Lord? Are you getting to know Him better? Are you nurturing that relationship by spending time daily in His Word and in prayer? If you know that you need to work on this better, would you acknowledge that to the Lord right now in your heart? Would you ask Him to give you wisdom? Set aside time in your daily schedule to nurture your relationship with Him. You may say, Pastor, I'm a busy person and I just don't have time during the day. Ask God for strength to get up earlier, just a half an hour earlier, and set aside that time to speak to the Lord in prayer, to read His Word. Christian, how is your relationship with others? If you're married, are you nurturing your relationship with your spouse? If the Lord's showing you that you need to change some things in your thinking and in your life in order to do this, would you ask Him for His grace and wisdom to put in place these needed changes? Would you be willing to go back and listen to these messages again? Take notes and make some definite decisions about what to change. If you have children, are you nurturing your relationship with each child? If the Lord is showing you that you need to change some things in your thinking and in your life in order to do this, would you ask Him for His grace and wisdom to put in place these needed changes? It may mean that you will need to sacrifice some time, sacrifice some activities that you would rather do. in order to do that. Ask God for wisdom as to what to sacrifice. It could be that you could do some things together with these children. How is your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in our local church? Are you nurturing your relationship with them by talking with them, getting together with them here in our church and at any activities that are planned? Maybe ask them to visit you or you visit them. Are you praying for them and doing anything else the Lord shows you that would be an encouragement to them? Maybe all that we've studied in this series has brought to your attention that you're not absolutely sure that you are saved. Please don't delay any longer, but talk with me or another born-again Christian that you trust so that we can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Whatever your need is this morning, would you respond to the Lord? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that what we have studied from your word in these six messages would change the way we think, would spur us on to improve, would motivate us to nurture, first of all, our relationship with you and then with others. I pray, Father, that you would continue to work in our hearts, that we would allow you to do that work in us by cooperating with you. Lord, I pray that as a result, that it would be a blessing to others and that the unsaved that are observing us would have to give glory to you for your transforming work in us. Lord, I pray that you'd work in the hearts of unsaved loved ones. There are those who are listening to this message who have unsaved spouse, maybe unsaved siblings, maybe unsaved parents. I pray, Father, that you would work in each of these unsaved individuals and that you would use these saved ones to be a testimony to the ones who are not saved. Lord, may there be a love, a selfless, sacrificial love on our part that would draw those who are not saved to the Savior. I pray that you would do that wonderful work in our hearts for your glory, for the salvation of souls, for an increased blessing in families and in our church. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.